You're listening to Limelight, part of the We Love Where You Live podcast series brought to you by the Michigan Municipal League. Here's your host, Emily Kalishewski.
Welcome to Limelight, a podcast highlighting the incredible work being done at the local level, the stories behind the people that do it, and topics that matter to them. I'm your host, Emily Kalishewski, and on this episode, I'm here with Muskegon City Manager Frank Peterson. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So this city has been both methodical and creative in its work to rebuild downtown, to reorient and take full advantage of the shoreline, and to fill in gaps in its neighborhoods, all things that made Muskegon a strong contender and eventually the winner of 2018 Strongest Town, the contest. So Frank, first, congratulations. That's very exciting for Muskegon.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It was an interesting and fun process.
Great. Well, I'd like to get into it. So take us through the competition. What exactly is it, and how did the city of Muskegon decide to jump in? What did the city want to highlight?
Yeah, you know, really, I'll have to give credit where it's due, and that's really to our Chamber of Commerce. And, you know, they follow the Strong Towns blogs, just like we do, and we're Strong Towns members. Our chamber president reached out to us and said, look at this contest right here. I think we're doing a lot of this stuff. You know, I really think that we should try to get a little bit of recognition for the things that we're doing. And it was kind of a last minute thing, so we didn't really have a lot of staff time to put towards it. But we talked to her about it, and she decided that chamber staff would put the initial application in. So actually the chamber staff, in working with our planning department, put the initial application in. And I think that they selected from all the applicants, you know, the first, you know, to create the first round. So some people were accepted and maybe some were not. And but we got into the contest first, and then from that point on, it was just, you know, it was just really talking about the things that we're doing, you know, in our day-to-day lives here at the city of Muskegon.
Right. So started with 16 communities that they chose and moved forward from there, and Muskegon was the last one standing. So that's really great. So Strong Towns does put an emphasis on financial solvency, and you gave an example of this in the application. So how does the city of Muskegon get creative to plan for sustainability?
Yeah, one of the things that I think they liked the most were that we were willing to try things out on small scale. So kind of like the low cost, big impact, and stuff that, it's funny, you know, and that was one thing that we'll talk about later that I think validated a lot of things that we've been trying to do here, where residents would say, why are you wasting money building sheds on Western Avenue? We need buildings and permanent, you know, permanent structures. And I think Strong Towns like that we were willing to say, well, let's try retail downtown before we spend millions of dollars, you know, forcing it into our downtown. Let's try it and see if it worked. And I think that's what they like, that incremental little investment to have a big impact, and then help use that impact to guide future investment and future decision making.
Sure. So can you describe that project a little more? We were just here with the Michigan Municipal Executives this past summer for their summer workshop. Can you describe that project downtown and how you got there and what it looked like?
Yeah, well, I'll start from the very beginning. The very beginning, we decided, this was probably about 4 years ago, we decided to build a strong downtown in our mind. It had to have the right mix of residential and retail and entertainment and culture and all that happy stuff. And so we put together what we call a form-based code in our downtown, and it put a number of requirements on buildings, how they interplay with the street, and, you know, and what types of uses go in them. But one thing we required were that anytime you built a building, especially on Main Street, it had to have a retail component on the first floor. But what we found was that although in practice that makes sense, when you're looking at a city that hasn't had major retail investment in it in decades, it made it very hard for developers and people to wrap their head around the cost. And so as we would talk to different developers, and we would say, we want, you know, they're interested in doing the residential portion, but they had trouble financing the retail portion just because there were no comps. There was no indication, yes or no, if people would either A, shop downtown, or B, if retailers would locate downtown, if either of those would happen. So we were in a little bit of the chicken and the egg thing. And so we decided, we believed that they would. And so we decided in a partnership with the Chamber of Commerce and the Community Foundation and a couple other industrial developers, I would say, around here, we decided to build little shops and make them low cost and just give that entrepreneur a chance to come down here and test, you know, the market and see if A, people would come, and B, they could make money. And after just 1 year, I think we found, I mean, really after 1 week, we found that people have been wanting to shop downtown for years and they've been waiting for the opportunity. And as soon as those opened up until the day that they closed for the end of the season, they were busy almost every single week. And mm-hmm. it was beyond any of our imagination how busy it was. And actually, that now what you're seeing is as the developers come in, they're looking at that and saying, hey, wait a minute, you were really successful with these 200 square foot buildings. Maybe when we do retail on the first floor of our building, they shouldn't be 2,000 square feet. Maybe they should be 500 or 600 square feet. And we can be kind of the next growth phase for these small businesses that have started down here.
Sure. So I've been coming to Muskegon for the last 10 years. It's been kind of my second home for a while. And I've certainly seen it transform throughout that time period. But describe that process a little more further than just the smaller shops that we've seen in the last year in that area. Describe the last 10 years, how it's really been rebuilt.
Yeah. I would say it's been focused on what little things can we do to bring people down here and make it more vibrant. So, you know, even when you went back 5 years ago, it wasn't that we didn't have outdoor seating, we didn't even allow it. Like our code, it didn't even allow people to put seats out on the sidewalk for the restaurants. Mm-hmm. And when you look into downtown, it's really hard, even when all the buildings are full, when there's nobody on the sidewalk and nobody outside in the middle of summer, to say, man, this tourist town is really thriving. It was just really hard to get the point across. So one of the first things that we did was we began allowing for outdoor seating. And what we found was that every single restaurant that's opened since we've started allowing for it has put outdoor seating. And it's the most popular, you know, especially during the summertime, it's the most popular seating that they have. You know, but it just created a sense of vibrancy. We also changed a number of rules, like, for example, food trucks. You know, we want mm-hmm. restaurants, we want brick and mortar. We think that those are ultimately going to be the best for us. But incrementally, it's really hard for a bank to finance a restaurant mm-hmm. that doesn't have any history. And it's really hard for a restaurateur to take that leap of faith and put, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars or their, you know, or mortgage their house or whatever it takes to build a restaurant. But what we did find was that we could attract food trucks downtown. So we changed our rules and we pretty much allow food trucks to go any place. Mm-hmm. They can't park directly in front of an operating, you know, restaurant, but they can go 20 feet away from it. Mm-hmm. And what we found was that it created just that sense of vibrancy. Other things that we've done to kind of make it feel more vibrant, you know, we've activated vacant lots. So we talked about the pop-up shops that we did, but we also put volleyball courts downtown and mm-hmm. and beach soccer downtown. And we've just tried to make it so that when people are looking for something fun to do, that's the first thing that pops in their mind is let's go downtown and see what's going on. And you don't have to go down there just to drink a beer at a brewery. You can go down there and actually, you know, have fun. We do have a great beach and we mm-hmm. really would prefer people to go play volleyball at the beach. But sometimes, you know, when you're driving across the city and, you know, and it's really windy down there late at night, it's just a lot easier to look for something to do downtown. And we will keep them active that way.
Right. And making a good sense of place in your downtown,
which
has been a great transformation. Something I've seen over the last 10 years and been really impressed with and keeps me coming back after all this time. So that's excellent. Along the process, though, I'm sure that there were bumps in the road. What has been or is the greatest challenge for Muskegon and how did you or do you plan to overcome it?
Yeah, our greatest challenge still seems to be the idea that that it's not a great place to invest. I mean, from the banking institutions, you know, to the developers themselves, we need them. We need them to be on board. We need the appraisers to be on board. We need all those things to line up. And as we've done even our bigger projects, you know, it's been very difficult to get somebody to come in and make an investment in the community because the banks are telling them, oh, well, you know, it's gonna cost you $4 million to build it, but we think it's gonna be worth $2 million when it's done and we'll fund 80% of that. And then all of a sudden for us to get some activity down there, we're pulling a lot of people in and saying, okay, how much can we get from this investment group? Or is the city interested in coming in and partnering in some way or the community foundation? And that's been our biggest thing. To date, we've been able to overcome it by kind of pulling our team together. You know, and that's kind of maybe another testament to how strong the community is. But at some point, we're gonna need to be able to rely on Muskegon just being considered a good place to invest. And I think as you see more of that happening, so you know, we've built three apartment buildings, for example, over the last 2 years. They're just now getting to the point where they're occupied. You know, they're just now filling up. So the first one, which was High Point Flats, it has, you know, 70-ish apartments in there. Don't quote me on that exact number, but they don't open until next month. They've only got five left. and the rents are a lot more than they thought they were going to get in their original pro forma. And I think as we're able to, you know, we take this leap of faith and make these investments in these first few, that's how we end up overcoming it, because we prove the market. And we tried to prove that with a little group of houses that we built just outside the downtown a couple mm-hmm. years ago as well. We were struggling with, we thought people wanted to live in our near downtown neighborhoods, but we didn't think that we were providing them anything to live in, you know, unless mm-hmm. you wanted a fixer-upper or a, you know, or a historic home, there wasn't anything to compete with the suburban life. And I'm not saying the first suburban lifestyle, but suburban house life, you know, the attached garage and, you know, and the maintenance-free home and all those sorts right. of things. And so, we took a leap of faith. We built 9 houses in one of our near downtown neighborhoods, in a neighborhood where you wouldn't have seen a house sell for more than, say, $50,000 mm-hmm. before. And I'm happy to say we sold all 9 of them. You know, the cheapest one probably sold for like $155,000. So mm-hmm. we created a new market in that neighborhood. And a lot of people, again, they question that, why we're in the real estate business. Mm-hmm. And our answer was strictly, it was, we're trying to build this sustainable community, and we know we can't sustain it on $50,000 houses or $25,000 houses. We need to invest new wealth into the community.
Right, right. Well, one of the other things that I noticed in the application and, you know, with my previous experience here is the citizen spirit. The residents here really love the community and really rally around it. And there is such a successful campaign here with some of the branding that Muskegon has done. So can you describe that a little bit?
Yeah, so that's probably about 3 years old now, the mm-hmm. Watch Muskegon campaign. And that's been, I think that it's beyond branding. And mm-hmm. that's the cool thing about it. It wasn't just slapping a new logo up there. It was mm-hmm. all about changing people's perspective mm-hmm. and helping them understand that if you like it here, tell people. Mm-hmm. Because the people that don't like it here, tell people. Mm-hmm. You know, we need to be able to, I don't want to say drown them out, because we can't ignore the things that need to be fixed. Mm-hmm. But if the city is a desirable place to live and a desirable place to work and a desirable place to visit and recreate, then we should be saying that over mm-hmm. and over again. And the cool thing about it is it had an educational component, it had a blight fight component, it had all these other components beyond just that marketing campaign. But I think you're already seeing it. You're seeing, like, when newspaper articles come out that are negative, you're seeing people jumping in there in the comments section going, hey, wait a minute, hold on, time out. You know, downtown's really safe. Yeah, this is isolated incident, or this could have happened anywhere. And they're actually jumping in and they're standing up for the community. Whereas I think a few years ago you were seeing them pile on and or just be silent while others piled on. And that's been very helpful to us internally, because we want that high self-esteem. We want to feel good about our community. But externally, mm-hmm. when you go into Grand Haven and Spring Lake, those are people that we want to welcome into our community to come in and, you know, and spend time here.
Right. Well, it's visible. That's clear. Even walking into City Hall today, the banners and the signs, just even driving into Muskegon. So it's clearly been successful. I have my Muskegon t-shirt. Yeah. So I'm proud to rock that every once in a while too.
And it's funny, I think you caught me on like the one day a week where I don't wear a Watch Muskegon branded shirt.
I almost wore mine today in support because, like I said, Muskegon's been my second home for quite some time. I want to get into a little bit of the former farmer's market. We visited that over the summer. Take us through that project and kind of your vision for that.
Yeah, so the old farmers market, the one that we've left behind. You know, we've been working really hard on seeing some new development happen down there, and we think we're actually really close. We've identified that as a location of what we're calling our food hub. So mm-hmm. we want to create a food hub down there that kind of feeds off the farmers market and kind of acts as that commercial component for all the food related, you know, or the agriculture related activity that happens in Muskegon County. And we have a vision down there where we'll see a large, well-functioning food hub down there to support our, you know, our restaurants and our processing companies and you name it, anything that uses agriculture as part of their business, almost like an incubation type of facility. And I would be, you know, I don't want to overstate it, but I would be very surprised if we didn't see some major activity there, you know, by the end of this year, you know, seeing that food hub come to fruition.
Sure. Sure. Well, it was very popular when we were here over the summer. So it was great that we got to experience that too, as part of MME's summer workshop. So for other communities who are considering the Strong Towns contest, last year we actually had a winner from Michigan as well. Traverse City was the winner of the Strong Towns contest. So we've successfully kept it in the state for the last 2 years. What advice do you have for other Michigan communities who are interested in being recognized as a Strong Town?
Yeah, I would say focus on the little things. I mean, you know, we've made quality of life a priority now for like the last 3 or 4 years. And I think you can kind of start to see that, you know, finally showing some, showing some results, you know, don't be afraid when people question, hey, we need a new fire truck. Why are you investing in the downtown? Or why are you trying to do this? Or why are you trying to do that? You got to recognize what's going to make your town successful, what's going to make your town strong, what's going to make it sustainable, and make those investments. And it's not to say that other things aren't important, but it can't be, you know, it can be an and, not just an either or sort of a thing. And so we've pushed back on a lot of that initial, I don't want to call it negativity, but initial concern that says, you know, why are you spending money building pop-up shops, or why would you spend money dragging sand downtown when you have potholes to fill and stuff like that. And I think we've shown, and we will show when you watch this play out over the next decade itself, that investing in these small things are what's going to make this town stronger. And when the town's strong and its assets are paying for themselves, right? And we're creating the wealth that we need to create here, it makes it a lot easier to buy fire trucks and patch roads and do all the things that people expect us to do. Mm-hmm. But we have to build a base. Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny, I used to use the analogy of it's almost like, you know, when we would only invest in those really key things because we didn't want to rock the boat per se. And it was like comfort care. It was like we were just kind of being like almost like a hospice sort of thing. Our city was dying comfortably. Mm-hmm. And we didn't even almost realize it because we weren't feeling the pain because we were taking care of just those things. But now we're saying, let's actually give our community a little bit of care. Let's see if we can actually, you know, put it on the mend. And I think that's the difference between the two types of spending. We don't just want to be here to not, you know, to fade as a urban area comfortably. We want to live, and we want to be vibrant, and we want to be the best place to live, the strongest town to live in West Michigan.
Mm-hmm. So we've heard a lot about what you've been doing in the past few years to really bring Muskegon to the forefront over here in West Michigan. But what's next? What does Muskegon have its sights set on next? What can you share with us?
Yeah, I would say now, although our focus will continue to be on the heart, I would say, of Muskegon, which is the downtown. We think that a lot of the growth will emulate from around the downtown and kind of reverberate out. But we have a lakeshore too. And one thing that I don't want to say any city can have, but we can all build a downtown. We can all do the small things to build a functioning downtown, but you can't create 2 miles of Lake Michigan shoreline, and you can't create 6 miles of Muskegon Lake shoreline. And so I think what you're going to see is now that we've just approved what we call our Imagine Muskegon Lake Plan, which will guide in city investment and development planning on the lakefront for the next 20 years. And as we start implementing some of the important components of that and taking land that was historically industrial, that blocked the waterfront and took people away from the waterfront, and we're taking those down and replacing them with recreational opportunities and housing opportunities and all those sorts of things, I think you'll really start to see Muskegon emerge not only as a vibrant urban community, but also as a small, you know, waterfront beach town. And we'll be able to be both of those things at the same time.
So we've seen where you've come from. We see where you're heading. But what's the best part of Muskegon? Sell us in 30 seconds. Oh. Why should people come here? Why should people live here?
Yeah, I come here. I like living here because of the culture. I think that the culture here is amazing. You know, this is a city that was, you know, a lot of our cultural amenities are well over 100 years old. They were endowed to us by people that have been gone for 100 plus years, for more than a century. So we have an amazing art museum, and we have these amazing, heritage museums, and we have two really cool, I would say, World War II era ships that you can get on and check out. And they're things that you just don't find in a town of 38,000 people. You just don't see them there at this high quality. And that doesn't mean that we don't have fun and we don't have breweries and all those fun things to do downtown. And those things can be, you know, they come and go. But this stuff has shown that it's here for the long run, and it's unique. You just don't find it in every single community. And I would just put a plug out to our events. We have a dozen, well well-attended, well-maintained, well-organized events that'll just knock your socks off, from the Irish Music Festival mm-hmm. to the Unity Christian Festival. If you like motorcycles, come down here for Rebel Road and see 100,000 motorcycles downtown. I mean, there's a little bit of something for everybody in Muskegon.
Well, and cruise ships stop here now, so that's fantastic. Yep. Well, I'll certainly be coming back. Frank, thanks so much for joining us. I've loved seeing Muskegon's success and the growth it's had over the last few years, and we really appreciate seeing that and for you taking the time to share with us a little bit more about that.
All right. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm.
This has been a production of the Michigan Municipal League. For more information on our programs and services, please visit www.mml.org and join us for the next episode of We Love Where You Live.